Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Irresistible Grace in our series on the errors of Calvinism. This is part two of two.
We're not happy that people do resist the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, but he can be and is resisted by hell-bound sinners. I've heard stories of people trying to preach the gospel or preaching the gospel to very famous people. And one of them, I remember having a conversation with Jill about it, John Denver. You know, John Denver had an amazing voice. Not like he could sing really high, really low. He just had this voice. And I loved to hear his voice. Gift. And he could have used that gift for God's glory, but instead he rejected he was brought up to know the gospel. And a preacher, an evangelist, sat down with John Denver and shared the gospel, and John told him, "I don't believe any of that garbage. I don't believe your Bible, I don't believe your Jesus, I don't believe any of that." He'd become a pantheist and kind of a Hindu kind of idea, only is Americanized, where all is God and God is all. And it's sad. I'm not happy about that. I'd love to have John Denver's voice as part of the heavenly choir. Only take the man by his word, though. Look over at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm just going to run these references, a few of them, that show that as sad as it is, God allows man the choice. John 5, 39 through 40. And by the way, you may have some verses rattling in your head that say that, and I may not hit on them tonight. But you can do your own Bible study and search on this. You'll find it to be a fact. And what you will never find in the Bible is God forcing anyone to be saved. I've had people say, "What about the Apostle Paul?" Hey man, he knocked Paul down and blind. He's done even more to other people and they still didn't get saved. Paul didn't have to get saved.
He killed Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah. Think of the people who didn't repent, who did resist. Pharisees, I mean, that's an amazing thing. If you have that in your mind as you're reading that story, you're like, "What in the world's wrong with this guy?" But John 5... 39 and 40. Go ahead and read that. This is, by the way, if you don't have a red letter Bible, this is Jesus talking. Read those two verses. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Look at that, verse 40. Jesus taught salvation is a matter of the will. Calvinists deny you have free will. It makes a mockery, really, of the gospel itself. And it makes God look like he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. God calls on lost people and says, "Repent! You can't unless you're elect, but repent! You're not able to unless I first come and irresistibly, you know, unconditionally elect you, but repent!" It's as cruel as looking at a little 5-year-old kid and telling them, "You know, if you want to eat today, you get in the car and go get your own food." That 5-year-old kid can't do that. That's cruel, isn't it? God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't be like that. It's against his character, and it's against his word. He says, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." And he doesn't ever tell us to run around saying, you know, "Well, you know, I'm preaching to you, but if you're not elect, you can't be saved. I sure hope you're one of the unconditionally elect so that God's irresistible grace will reach you right now as I'm preaching the gospel." That's what is actually going through the minds of Calvinists. If they're good Calvinists, when they preach the gospel, they don't for a second believe that you can believe the gospel. What they're hoping is you're one of the elect, and they just get to have, it's like Cracker Jacks. Ooh, prize! How many of you ever got a box of Cracker Jacks and there's no prize in it? Man, does that not tick you off? I mean, some of you may not know what I'm talking about, but boy, when I was a kid, you get Cracker Jacks and like, we was eating to get to the prize.
Got the prize out first. That's right.
Yeah. We only ate to get to the prize, you know. And it was some rinky-dink little thing, but if you didn't get it, man, you'd like, that's cruel, you know. Give a kid, well, that's what, it's cruel to call on sinners and tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You realize every Calvinist who preaches that to someone in their idea that isn't elect, they're lying to them. When a Calvinist preaches to an unsaved man who doesn't get saved, he just lied to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He can't unless he's elect. And if he's not elect, that Calvinist just lied to him. You see how I've said this before? The Bible makes it so simple. It takes religion and theologians to make it difficult. God says the lost are to blame. Think of this. God's going to stand at the great white throne and he's going to put the blame on the lost sinner. Calvinists say God is to blame. According to Calvinists, the only people not getting saved are the ones God didn't force. What a thing. Trash. Stick to your Bible, amen?
Amen.
Look over at Ephesians 2:8-9. I know you're familiar with this. But if your memory's like mine, you still need to turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We're talking about irresistible grace. Well, Paul talks about grace. Go ahead and read it with me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I was talking to Otis and Kathy earlier. You do works because you're saved, not to be saved. It's not of works that any of us can boast. We are saved by works, by the way. And Jesus did the works. He paid it all. Took care of the whole thing. Amen?
Amen?
So we are saved by grace through faith. Now think of this. Not through some mystical, irresistible act. You, if you're saved here today, and I believe everybody in the room has made a solid profession. You're saved, it says, by grace through faith. Now, I want to kind of explain this a little bit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? So, you go up to a lost man or woman, and you preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, that's the word of God, amen? We got it right up there. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 explains exactly what the gospel is. When you preach the gospel to that lost person, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says you have to receive it as the word of God. Just turn over there. I want to turn there. You talked me into it, Charlie.
I'm still
there. Oh, I said second. It's first. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Good thing we turned there. Would have been people out there in internet world looking it up and saying, what? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because, here's the key, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, now watch this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, if you will receive really anything taught to you from the Bible, but the gospel as an unsaved man, that's all that matters. You receive the word of God, the gospel being preached to you. As the word of God, it produces faith in you. A lot of times, Ephesians 2:8-9, people say that salvation is the gift of God. In the text, you'll see it's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, what? Faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. What? How's that happen? You hear the gospel and receive it as the word of God. It then produces faith in you to believe. And that's how it works. It's not some, the way the Calvinists teach it, at some point you're not even conscious of it happening. And you're being regenerated so that when you hear the gospel, you'll be like, Stepper, it's like the Stepford wives.
I actually heard a Calvinist preacher say those, and you just kind of discovered that you're saved.
Yeah. You're already regenerated and don't even know it. And then when someone preaches the gospel, you're like, oh, wow. Again, it's like the Stepford Wives. You ever seen that movie? There's an old one and a new one. Either one of them you can watch. It's just like this glossing over, glassy-eyed look of, oh, I'm saved. That's scary because if that's all that happened to a Calvinist, they're still lost. Because that Calvinist has to consciously receive the Word of God as the Word of God and believe in that gospel for salvation. Now, it's just a fact. For example, the Presbyterian Church is the Calvinist Church. And then there's Baptists who have adopted Calvinist TULIP. They're almost all going apostate now. Why is that? Isn't that something? These churches that are built on Augustine and Calvinism are all going into the Antichrist system right now. Why is that? Because not all I've said this before, so I hope you understand. Some people out there get mad at me for even saying this because they don't think any Calvinists are saved. I'm not saying that. I believe there are many people who get saved and then fall into error. But there are a lot of people who just kind of, oh, I'm one of the elect. Wait a minute. When were you saved? I'm elect. Wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the right answer. You're supposed to say that you've been saved. You're supposed to be able to say, I believe the gospel. We were talking again earlier. You may not know the exact moment or even the day. As some people weren't told, like I might have been told. I might have written it down somewhere, but I lost it. Other people weren't told, write this down. Some people, we actually frame it, put it on the wall so they won't forget. Put it in their wallet or whatever. But the point is, you remember there was a day, a moment, where you repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and stopped trusting in anything in you, turning away from everything you are, whatever, turning to God empty-handed and saying, save me. I believe this gospel. Internally, I mean. So, look over at Romans 1:16. If Calvinism's irresistible grace is true, this text should say that irresistible grace is the power of God unto salvation. But it doesn't say that. Romans 1:16. It's a great memory verse. Another one. This ought to be a part of the Romans Road. I've seen a lot of Romans Road material that they don't even include this verse. It should start with this. Go ahead and read that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power, is the gospel. And how sad that this Calvinist system takes the power from the gospel and says that even before you've heard the gospel, you are elect, and with irresistible grace you are regenerated and you're saved, and the power, the gospel is an afterthought. And that's really the way it is. And I've said this before many times. That's why you rarely see Calvinists out preaching the gospel and doing evangelistic work. And the ones you do see when you talk to them, you find out they really don't buy in to Calvinism. They attend the church and they think, well, it's probably right, but they don't really buy in. And a lot of them end up leaving and going into other churches later on. But folks, it's not just, I may even mention this. Yeah, I think I do. I'll come back to this in just a second. The gospel is the power. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Don't preach your church. Don't preach your pastor. Don't preach doctrinal issues and, you know, hang-ups. If anything gets in the way, if you're talking to an unsaved man or woman and you feel like this is the important thing when you talk to, and it's not the gospel, you're off track. You're talking to an unsaved man or woman, get to the gospel. It's the power, not some mystical event invented by Calvinist theologians. Scripture credits the gospel. Whoops. And I was going to say, cults and heresies credit something else. Cults and heresies credit something else. So that's, you start listening to a preacher or you go to a church with a friend, if they're crediting and they're giving the focus on something else for salvation, get out. There's a problem. Here's just a sampling of what I call unconditional religions. Did you know that that's basically what karma teaches? That in a previous life, you may have been a big jerk. You have no control over it. You're going to pay in this life. It's this like a predestinated, foreordained suffering that you're going to have to go through. Or they teach that if you're wealthy and healthy and everything, you must have been really, really good in the previous life and then that. And Calvin said, well, we don't teach that. You don't teach that in specifics, but you have this same general idea that your salvation has nothing to do with you in this life. That God preordained before the foundation of the world that you'd be saved, and so you got the same setup as karma. And it's just crazy. Then you have Islam and Allah. Study Islam and Allah. There's no free will in Islam. You don't have free will. And if you're saved, it's because Allah has chosen you to be saved. You know, Muhammad even said he didn't know for sure if he was going to go to heaven. Why? Because he believed that Allah would save who he would save, regardless of his own works or anything. And he said he wasn't even sure he was going to heaven himself. It's fact. And then, of course, there's materialistic atheism. They believe that we are nothing but the result of all this stuff. And, you know, everything is, there's no such thing as free will in materialistic atheism. And you can find some really interesting lectures and things on that on YouTube. But Augustinian Catholics, I say that because a lot of Catholics just, you know, believe whatever these days. There's a lot of Catholics that are pro-choice. And there's a lot of Catholics who, I mean, they're members of the Catholic Church. And they are universalists. They don't believe that the Roman Catholic Church is the true church. It's just one of many, you know, which is heresy. The Roman Catholic Church. We know professing, or they call themselves Roman Catholic, go to Mass and everything, and they're atheists. You know, it's a strange thing. But there are serious Catholics. And a lot of them are Augustinian in their doctrine, and they believe the same thing. They just believe that everything is predestined, and that's what Augustine himself believed. That's just a sampling. I mean, we could go into a lot more examples and everything. But you see this, outside of biblical Christianity, it's rare. I mean, I went to apostolic Pentecostal churches where they're running around, you know, crazy. Their doctrine was predestinarian. They believed that they were the chosen few. Oh, thank you. Is that what you... Huh? Yeah. Early signs of... No, I'm just kidding. We're not joking about that. There we go. That was predestined, I believe. So all false religion points you away from the gospel. That's the bottom line. And we should reject religion and turn to the gospel. And I don't have the hard feelings that some of these people do with Calvinists. say my issues more with the teachers, because I found that a lot of people attend Calvinist churches and they don't really buy in. But, you know, they go there for whatever other reason. But it's a shame because they're supporting that kind of teaching with their presence and their financial giving. I'm about to close it up, but I want to go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Now, as I read along, and I'm going to have you jump in a minute, ask yourself if this is presenting choice. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Well, you know, why would he say that if they couldn't? Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then he says, because I've called and ye refused, suggests free will, doesn't it? No. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. This is how God's going to respond to people who reject Him. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now read 28 and 29 with me. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I've actually heard that verse 28 quoted to support the idea of irresistible grace. But look at both those verses. That's the context. They had already rejected God. It said they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, it is true that God does hand people over before they're dead. Now, I have to warn you, some of you heard this before. I want to clarify it, though. We don't know who those people are, so we continue to preach the gospel. We continue to pray for them. But it is nonetheless a fact that there are people who God hands over before they're dead. And if they call on Him, like, you know, you hear people say there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And, you know, oh, God, please. There's, you know, they published some of the phone calls people made in the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001. Some of them were blaspheming, but others were just crying out to God, and then the next sentence would be a blasphemous thing. You know, it's just an ugly thing when you see unbelievers who have rejected God call out to Him when they're about to die. But it's not calling in faith. It's calling in desperation. If they were to call out and say, oh, Lord Jesus, I accept what You did for me on the cross. Save me. That would be different. That'd be no different than the thief on the cross. That's what you hear about happening at places like when the Titanic sank. But you don't hear about that. I'm not sure of anybody doing that on 9/11. Hopefully there were a lot of people who did. But look at that last verse there. For they that they hated knowledge and did not what?
Choose.
It's a biblical word. It's the gospel call. When you preach the gospel, you're calling on people to choose. And it's despised and mocked in Calvinism. You hear people say, oh, anybody calling on sinners to choose to believe, that's just heresy. It's terrible. It's just not even possible. That's what they teach. Look over one, I think this is the last one I'll go to, Matthew 23. Now, I know Jenny and Charlie, but is there anybody else here who's sat under someone who's taught this stuff? You ever sat under anybody teaching this stuff? I know you were a little young, I think, but your dad and mom told me they were starting to teach this stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Well, the place that no longer exists.
Yes.
The place that shall not be named. But there's been people who sat under it and didn't know they were sitting under it. I was under a teacher, I've told this before, I loved listening to the guy, and then all of a sudden he started pushing this Calvinism stuff. And an old guy came up to me, a wonderful Christian man, and he's just smiling and says, "Oh, it's good to see you again." And he says, "Isn't this wonderful?" He knew I loved the teaching and everything. We'd already talked about it. And I said, "I got to tell you, I'm starting to get sick." "Why?" I said, "Well, I don't believe in this stuff that, you know, God only elected a few and everybody else, he just basically said, go to hell." "What? What do you mean?" I said, "Well, that's what he was just teaching." This guy totally was clueless to what he was hearing. And I think there's a lot of people, and sometimes it's just because they're not listening, they're daydreaming or whatever, you know. But there's been people sit under this stuff and not even realize it's being taught. But Matthew 23:37, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's lamenting because he knows Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. Now, it'd be 40 years from here, but Jerusalem was going to be totally wiped out. And Jesus, of course, was God in human form, and he knew this was going to happen. And so he's lamenting, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings." Read those last words. "And ye would not." And ye would not. Doesn't say could not. Would not. That's right. Would as in W-O-U-L-D. Not like woodchuck, chuck, woodchuck. No, this is would. It's the tense of will. So in closing, I'll just say enough said. To go on would be redundant. And my wife's back will start hurting if I keep going. But just with this word, God's grace is amazing. Don't resist. And that's as an unsaved person, if you're watching or listening and you're unsaved, but even to those of us who are saved, God's grace just continues to flow in your life. Don't resist. But it won't flow whenever you block it. If you get into sin, rebellion, get away from the Word, not praying like you should, you'll block His grace. Don't resist it. But it can be resisted.